and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear the second part and last part of the sermon I just preached last weekend at Island Community Church. If you are looking for a new church home, I invite you to come out and visit. We'd love to see you sometime. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 6. Wednesday nights, we're in the Book of Revelation. Starting next week, not this Sunday, but the following week, we'll start 2 Peter verse by verse. So we're a big Bible teaching church, as you would imagine. And as you would know from listening in on this program, you'd know what to expect. So I invite you to come out and visit. We also have a new app available as well. You can download that by searching for Island Community Church FL, like Florida. Whether or not it is a Android device or an Apple device or a phone or a tablet, it'll work on any one of those. Search again for Island Community Church. Soon, they're working on it now, very soon, within a week or two, should be the WGOD radio app. So we're trying to keep up on it. So I don't want to be relying on Facebook, because Facebook or anyone else, if they don't like what I say or if they don't like the Word of God, then they can delete it and cancel it. Not so being established, not dependent on any of them. So it's kind of what we're working on here. This sermon here is taken from John chapter 17. It's entitled Jesus's High Priestly Prayer. It's a wonderful chapter. It's an intimate look at a prayer between Father, or between Son and Father. It's broken up into three sections where Jesus prays for himself the night before he died. Then he prayed for his disciples. And lastly, he prays for us, as he put it, those who will believe. So this is the second part of this message now. And again, I invite you out this weekend. Love to see you Sunday morning. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, will be preaching this weekend. But I'll be there as well, and we'd love to greet you. Both of us looking forward to meeting you Sunday morning. And if you are looking for a church, if your church is still closed, or if your church is by appointment only, or if you're forced to wear a mask or have a vaccine to go to your church, I invite you to come out to Island Community Church. Here is part two now of this message, Jesus' High Priestly Prayer.
The great, great mistake of the Catholic Church is to think that this promise extends to them, or to any of us for that matter. Look at how this promise does not extend to us. He commanded them that they should tell no one that Jesus was the Messiah. Do you think that promise is yours? Do you think that promise is yours? Of course not. That's what I learned in theology school, was the messianic secret. So that he could travel about Jerusalem and all of Israel without being thronged by crowds. He needed to get from one place to the other. That's why he told them that. That's not your promise. Neither is the one claimed here by the Catholic Church. I can't forgive your sins, Ken. I don't have the authority to. I don't have the power to. Jesus Christ is the one that by his blood forgives your sins. Amen. But he gave these promises to these apostles. They had great supernatural power. I got one here. Darren made me cry with that song. I got one here. It's full of sweat and tears. Now, Paul would sweat in one of these, and then he would take it and he'd give it to someone. And then, you got a corn or something? What you got? Headache? Just that alone would heal whoever was. I don't have that kind of power. I don't have that kind of authority. But they did. They used to get in Peter's shadow. And his shadow would heal people because they had special power. You see, this promise was a promise for them, not for you and not for me. We don't have that kind of power like that. Now, onto Jesus' prayer for his disciples. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They've kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me. And they have received them. And they have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. Wow, that was kind of mean on his part, huh? MSNBC would certainly call him a racist for that one. Twitter would explode. Do you hear what Jesus said? I don't care about those. I'm only praying about my own. Wow, what a sock in the eye that would have been. I don't pray for them. He says, I don't pray for the unbelievers. I don't pray for the unbelievers. I pray for my own. Amen. That's what he said. He's God. He bowed the knee to that. And you thank God that out of the 7.3 billion people, you're one of the ones that believe. Not like the 7 billion that don't. Right? He's got the right to do that. He's God. When you take that right and authority upon yourself, you make yourself better than God. And I don't advise that you do that. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you've given me. Verse 10, all of mine are yours. Again, he's speaking to the Father. All of mine are yours. All of yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, please, I beg you to remember, there is only one Holy Father in this universe, and that is Jehovah, God. Amen. Not a man, not a pope. There is one Holy Father. It's God and no one else. No one else. Keep through your name those that you have given me. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. How? Because there's power and authority in the name of God. I have kept them. Jesus says, I have kept everyone whom you've given me through the name of God. His name is holy, which is why it's a grievous sin to use his name in vain. Don't ever use the name of God in any other way other than praising him. His name is holy. There's power in his name. Use it appropriately, preferably on your knees or in gratitude or in over your lunch or dinner. He goes on, those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except, oh, look at that. He's lost one. See that? None of them is lost except the son of perdition. So that, oh, there's a reason for it. There's a reason why he lost one. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. Isn't it odd that Jesus' name for Judas is the same as Paul's name for the Antichrist? Did you know that? Paul said this, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. He said, let no one deceive you by any means. For the day of Christ won't come until the fallen away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now imagine changing that to read, the day of Christ will not come until the man of sin is revealed, Judas Iscariot. Now there's some baked ziti for thought tonight. There's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason why Jesus calls Judas the son of perdition. That's an odd nickname to have, believe me. And Paul calls the Antichrist the same thing? What am I implying? That Judas is the Antichrist? You didn't hear it. No, you heard it here first. But Esposito, you're saying then that the Antichrist is supernatural. Join us on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Wait till this Wednesday night when we read that the Antichrist, that five have fallen, one is and the other has not yet come, and when the other comes, he's one of the five, but he's one of the eight. The beast, the Antichrist, comes out of the bottomless pit. The Antichrist, when he comes to the world, get this. The Antichrist has already lived. It's not Joe Huckleberry from Boston. He comes out of the bottomless pit. That's Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. He's already lived. Jesus calls Judas the son of perdition. He's the only one he's ever lost. Paul calls the Antichrist the same name. Study that for 20 years. And let's see where we're at. Right, Darren? Should the world last that long? Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So let me say, as the world will hate you as well, Christian, that is, if you are a Christ follower, the world will hate you too. If not, then they won't. It's as simple as that. If you are a Christ follower, then you won't stand for all this evil going on out here in the world. I mean, how do you take to a school administrator asking your child what sex they want to be when they grow up? Are you happy with that? If you are, then you're a fool, and you heard it here first. And you're not a Christian. Don't waste your time calling yourself one. Evil's gotten into that group, and they're corrupting and destroying this country that these men and women died for. Now they're asking your child what sex they want to be. Now kids can get an abortion in school without their parents knowing it. That's law. It's law. I move on. You see, my point was to get back on point. Is the Christian will rebel against this and have a problem with this. A Christian will have a problem with a school administrator asking your child what sex they want to be. If you're a Christian, you'll have a problem with that. Amen. It is what it is. All right, he continues. Verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Wow. Jesus does not pray for the removal of the saints in the world. In the face of persecution, he prays for their protection going through the fire. That's his prayer for you. He prays to God, not that God would take you out before the tribulation, but his prayer is that God will watch out over you through the tribulation. Amen. Where is that in the Bible? John 17, verse 15. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, I love that verse. Some more great theology from the Son of God concerning the word of God. Thy word is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. The word of God is true, every word of it. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. Now, what a great prayer this has been. Now, lastly, is Jesus' prayer for you. Ha, I've got another. It's hot up here. What can I say? It's your turn. What will be the Son of God's prayer request for you today? Under the heading, Jesus prays for all believers. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. This is your promise. Here's the Son of God's prayer for you today, this Memorial Day 2021. Jesus says, I pray that all of you may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The world will know Jesus is the Son of God once Christians are united and stand as one, indivisible. All I can say is that is, what on earth happened there? Jesus was on a roll. What happened? It's if and then. I preached the sermon, if and then. If we are all united in Jesus' name, then the world will believe that Jehovah God sent his Son here to redeem the world. Throughout this entire prayer, we see petition after petition answered. We see fact after fact revealed to us by the Son of God concerning his relationship to God the Father. And then when he gets to us, what happens? Unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. One, Father, I pray that they would be one, just as you and I. Whatever happened to that in God's name? What happened? Jesus prays that prayer, and we follow with denominations. I don't like that word over there. We're going down the street over here. Me and Billy Bob, we're going to start our own church. You hear what Ethel did in that church down the street down there? We're going. Do you hear what that pastor said? Saw me at the liquor store? We're going downhill. We're going to start our own church. Do you know that actually churches have split because of the color of the carpet that they chose when they were remodeling the church? Jesus says, all the world will know you are a Christian because we love one another. Answered prayer, answered prayer, answered prayer, answered prayer. More revelation about God, the Father, the Son, the Father, and he gets to you. And what happens? Failure. Failure. That's sad. That's sad. Father, I pray that they would be one, just as you and I. Is this perhaps the only unanswered prayer ever spoken by the Son of God, except let this cup pass from me? Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Church, this is a prayer of unity. Verse 24, Father, notice how too, this is what John said in John 14, 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now listen to his prayer. I desire that those whom you have given to me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, verse 25. The world has not known you, but I have known you. These have known that you have sent me, and I have declared that I am your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them, unquote. So what's Jesus' prayer for you and for us, church? Unity. Unity. Look at the chain reaction or the result of that prayer properly obeyed. He says, I pray that all may be one. Then he says, so that. Meaning, this is what will happen if you do this. Then this is the chain reaction that's going to cause. The world would believe that you sent me. The world is going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by how you act. Amen. To your brother and your sister, that's the barometer. Hello, it's you. Not something else, not something they read on the news. It's you. What do you do when people hurt you? When people cuss at you? What do you do? Listen to what he said. Listen to what Paul said. And then we're going home for Memorial Day. Philippians 2:3. Paul said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others as better than himself. There's the answer to that. Do you want this prayer to be talking about you? That's only for you to answer. But that's how you're going to win souls to God. That's how people are going to know you're a Christian. Again, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, that is looking out for old number one, getting on a plane with the whatever virus and sickness when you know that you're sick and you don't care because you're just looking out for yourself. Like that guy with that from Ebola, that's right, got on a plane with 300 people, and he knew he was sick, and he didn't care. But he wanted to see a doctor in the United States, so it don't matter. I infect 300 people, and children, it doesn't matter. Just like Satan says, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. When that's your attitude, you're not in the will of God, you're outside of the will of God. Jesus' prayer for you is that you would think more about what he wants than what you want, or anyone else. Esteem others as better than you are. Amen. That is his prayer for me and for you. Look around. It's not what color you want the carpet. It's what color do you think she wants the carpet, which is what color do you think she wants the carpet. Esteem others as better than yourself. Unity starts here with humility. Being more concerned with someone else than you are about yourself. Now, Jesus prayed for Peter that he wouldn't fall away. Jesus prayed for you that you would be one, so that this unbelieving world would believe that Jesus indeed came down from God, and our unity is how that happens. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.